Thank you so much for joining the Dr. Whisperer podcast show. I am your host, Sharon Feckety, and you are here to listen to others talk about the business of medicine. Don't forget to subscribe, share it with somebody else that is in the business of medicine so we can all learn together. Thank you for being here and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show, or welcome back to the Dr. Whisperer show, where I not only get to talk to doctors, I get to talk to nurses and all kinds of healers out there in the world. But if anybody knows who's really running the show in the doctor's offices and the hospitals, it's the nurses. So Katie Harris is a nursepreneur mentor, and I could not be more excited to finally have a resource for all of the beautiful nurses that I've known in my life that could use a nursepreneur to help them navigate these waters of the business of medicine. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Katie, I'm always interested in the journey to doing what one is doing today. And it's usually not so easy as it might, you know, now you've done it. Now you have, you know, the Instagram account and the business and the clients and all the things. But there was a time, I'm sure, Katie, where you went, can I do this? Can I leave the hospital?
I don't think that feeling ever goes away.
Well, let's hear about it, Katie. Welcome to the show. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. So, I mean, I've been a nurse for, oh my God, like 20, 25 years now. And I worked with neurosurgeons and I loved it. It was one of those fields that had a very steep learning curve, and it took me a long time to get to the top of that steep learning curve. I watched my residents come and go. So I would, they're with us for 7 years. So I would see them as med students and then interns, PGY2, all the way up to their 7, and then they would do a fellowship, and then I would see them graduate, and I was really happy for them and great for them. But I always had to go back to the intern, and the first time you go through it, it's exciting and you learn so much, and the second time you go through it, it's like, okay, I got this. The third time you go through it, it starts to get really annoying, because the intern's learning, I know that, but it's like, I can move so much faster and do so much more, and I'm not in that position to do it. And it was very, very frustrating for me, because there wasn't an area to grow. It was, kind of the same thing over and over again. And it was put out the same fires, because we could never fix what was wrong. I mean, we saw what was wrong. We knew what was going on with the patients and the logistical errors, and or not the errors, but the logisticals, the organizational structure of how things were done. And it was just really frustrating. And no matter how much you brought it up, it was just kind of like, yeah, that's just how we do it here. And, it got to the point where the only way that I could go into the hospital and work was just to like shut down and not care about anything. And it's a really crappy way to be. I literally would walk into the hospital and just immediately be annoyed. I didn't like myself, it was like a horrible experience to go in somewhere and just hate everybody.
Yeah.
like, hi, Katie, how are you doing this morning? I'm like, what do you want from me? Like,
Well, and certainly that is not what you thought when you made that decision that you wanted to be a nurse. It's almost the same way it is, I feel like, for physicians that I help break out of corporate and go break out of the hospital, break out of their private practice where they're accepting insurance, where they feel like, oh my God, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I did not realize how much bullshit I was going to have to deal with in this business of medicine. I thought I was going to get to take care of people, and that I would have all of the support around me, and we would all get along really well, because we're all there for the same reason, and that was to help the patient. And how different it is when the light is shown on the reality of the industry. And, we're not here to be Debbie Downers. We're just having some real talk here. And the real talk is the system is pretty broken. And unfortunately, you have to get to that place where you're like, I really hate myself doing this job. I'm so unhappy. It is affecting my life. It is affecting my mental health. It is affecting the people I love around me. And I'm here supposed to be helping people. So I appreciate so much that you started that way, because I really understand that everybody that is in the industry does not think it's going to be what it actually becomes.
Right. And I think COVID shed a light on that too, because it became very clear very fast that nothing really is going to change from like the top down. And that's where it needs to come from, because we see it in the doctors, you know, my hospitalists, they are like walking zombies. The surgeons are always yelling at you because basically the system is broken and we're not able to fix it. So can you just imagine coming in and it's the same issue every single day, and you're just like, why? This could be so easy to fix. And it's just pure frustration on everybody's part.
Yeah. And it has such a trickle down effect. And unfortunately, it ends up affecting the patients. So yes. I keep saying that over and over again, because although this podcast and this show is all about the business of medicine, and I, being somebody who's been on my own for the last 10 years consulting and helping physicians and speaking at conferences, the ultimate goal at the end of the day is to reach the patient and to fix how the operation works for the patient. And if you can't fix a broken system, then you have to do what you did, and you got to get out.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so tell us about that journey. You realized it in COVID, which I think so many did. We all thought everything was going to change. I mean, the globe has changed, you know, we're all going to do things better. And we're so grateful for all of you healthcare workers out there. Bull to the shit.
Right.
It happened for a little while and it looked good on the media, but it wasn't the reality. So talk me through that, Katie.
Right. So I saw this coming, not COVID. I didn't see that coming. But, you know, around 2013, 2014, that's where I was really kind of like losing the vision of what I thought it could be and realizing that it wasn't going to change. And that, you know, I also am a degree collector. It's a family joke. You know, I've got like 4 master's degrees, a PhD. And, you know, for me, it was kind of like looking for some sort of purpose that I wasn't finding. And with each degree, it was just kind of like, all right, now, you know, I was looking for something to happen to me. And I finally realized, after God knows how much all those degrees cost, a couple $100,000 later, but found out that it wasn't, you know, nothing was ever going to come to me. I had to go out and take it. And that was a big realization that I had. And one opportunity that came to me was, I was the director for nurse practitioners at the local university, and Walmart literally called me. Walmart headquarters, they called me and said, we're looking for a nurse practitioner who will be a senior manager for talent acquisition to recruit nurse practitioners into our clinics down south. And I like practically threw myself at them. I'm like, please take me, take me.
Right. And are you a nurse practitioner?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, great. It's so funny that I love that you call yourself a nursepreneur mentor, but you have all the things and all the degrees, but I love that you're keeping it like, but you're always be a nurse. That's right. Your first love, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I went to go work for them, and I started meeting nurses, across the globe, really, just, you know, just in that position. And I met a lot of nurses who had their own business. And I was like, oh my God, that's like what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to start my own business, but I had been so myopic for so long. Like, you know, my idea of changing where I was to go from like neurosurgery to orthosurgery, right? It's not really a change. It's, you know, that's, it's the latter. There's no difference.
Yeah.
So when I met these nurses that were doing hospital consulting, systems consulting, med spas, IV hydration, health and wellness, functional medicine, all kinds of stuff. And I was just blown away. And one of the nurses that I met had started her own radio show. And I was like, this was mind blowing for me. I'm like, how do you who just starts a radio show? I don't understand. Like, this was like, you know, and she walked me through it. And that was my very first podcast episode, which, by the way, is probably terrible, but you know, it was just me like, tell me the details. Like, I have to know. I have to know what you're doing, how you did it, and why you thought you could do it.
Yeah. I love it. I love this so much. Okay. Cause in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to tell every one of my nurse practitioner and my nurse friends about you. Okay. So then what happened, Katie? So you're doing this, you're doing the radio gigs, you're thinking about doing, getting into your own business, and how does that unfold for you?
So well, one of the ways that I was trying to recruit nurses for Walmart, I decided that I should write a blog. And, you know, at the time, it was somewhat embarrassing. I had no idea. I didn't even know there were online courses on the internet. It was completely foreign to me. But I found this online how to start a blog. And I went down that rabbit hole of, you know, like, how do these people make money off of writing a blog? It didn't make any sense to me. So that took me down a path. And then I started learning Facebook ads to drive people to the blog and that kind of stuff. And the blog originally, the business name is NP Life, which is actually nurse practitioner, because I thought, oh, I should, you know, create something to help nurse practitioners. I don't know. I don't even know what the, I don't remember what the vision was, but I was going to help nurse practitioners, and it was NP Life. And then, you know, I had this epiphany about nursepreneurs, and I could keep the NP because it was still nursepreneurs. But but that whole, the podcast is really what helped me to understand what nurses were doing and what they could do and what I could help them do. So it was more of an evolution from the blog to the podcast, into meeting these nurses that were doing really fascinating things.
Now, do you mean that, the podcast that you were listening to or the podcast that you were doing?
The podcast I was doing. So, you know, I had worked with Diana Mason, who is the one who started her radio show, and then just started meeting other nurses. And I'm like, can I just interview you? And then it became kind of a crutch, because I'm like, I want to reach out to this person, but I don't know what to say. I'm a little nervous about it. So I'll just invite them onto my podcast as a way to do it. So.
And it really is. I mean, if anybody's listening and they want to know how to even get new clients, like, this is the way to go. If I was a smart person, that's what I would do. But I do, you know, I love the opportunity to share resources, and a great way to, you know, get to have that conversation with somebody that you don't think you would ever be able to would be to say, hey, can I interview you on my show? Who doesn't want to sit up and be on a show and talk about themselves? Okay. So then what happened, Katie? I'm waiting with bated breath.
So in the course of the podcast, I said to some of these nurses, I'm like, look, I know how to put businesses together. I've done a lot of these, and I can help with the marketing, but I don't know how to do, let's say, IV hydration, or I don't know how to run a med spa per se, but you do. So I started partnering with them, and they would put the course together. And I, at that time, had been building a community. I have a Facebook group of like 20,000, and, you know, like a big email list. So we would push their courses out and help the nurses get started. Mm-hmm. So it was really helpful to have some sort of role model or someone who has done what it is that you want to do, you know, helping you in that space. And those became very, very popular. That's where it really stemmed from. And the courses really took off during COVID, because people were like searching for them. And I don't think there was as many as there are now. But so that really catapulted us at that time.
So can you walk us through could you walk us through actually what you do to help these nursepreneurs?
It depends on what level they come in. But, you know, for the DIY courses, it's more kind of non-fluffy stuff. Like, this is what you, it's very task oriented. You need to do this, this, and this. And, you know, these are all the things that we're going to do, and let's get going. And then we have coaching programs that nobody wants to pay for it, but they all need like a mindset kick in the butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, let me jump on that. You all need it. So you all should just bite the bullet and pay for it, because this shit ain't free. Go ahead.
I realized that myself, because I probably spent $100,000 in courses myself, and a lot of them were DIY, because I'm, you know, cheap ass. And I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, but I could never get them done. Like it's embarrassing to say, but I probably half of that, I maybe did one module at True Modules and then gave up and ran after the next shiny object. So, you know,
reality. And I hear it all the time. So many people do that. They end up spinning their wheels and spending all this money, and they don't, it doesn't benefit them. So what is different? What is it that, you know, they're getting out of working with you? I'm selfishly want to know this, because I want to tell these people that come to me and they want me to help them. I'm like, you don't need me. You know, you need Nursepreneur.
Yeah. And a lot of it is the community. It's seeing that what's on the other side, because I think they get paralyzed. You know, you come up with a $3,000 lawyer bill, and you're like, oh, I can't do this. You know, But, you know, what if, you know, the IV hydration company 3 months down the line is, you know, pulling in $30,000, right? Now, all of a sudden that $3,000 is just a barrier, and you have to believe in yourself that it can be done, it has been done, and we can help you get it done. But there are certainly financial obstacles that are, especially in the beginning. When you first start a business, you feel like you're hosing money out. And one of the things that I really wanted to establish for the nurses, what were those role models of people who have done it and have been successful, and they're on the other side, and it looks grassy and rosy and really nice, and a lot of them are making a crap ton of money. But it's doable if you just stick with it. And
if you follow the Dr. Whisperer Show, that you know I am a firm believer in hospitality in healthcare. I am a firm believer in hospitality in all things. And in my opinion, the absolute best hospitality I've ever received in the banking industry is Valley Bank. I recommend Valley Bank to all of my friends, clients, physicians, healers, therapists. They are very community oriented. They support the community. They know how important it is for entrepreneurs, new business owners to get the funding that they need to make their dreams come true. So if you are looking for an exceptional, exceptional bank, look no further. Valley Bank is the one.
You know, things stop you. Like, I don't know, that city tax bill or something, or a city license. Like, you just have to do it. You suck it up and do it.
You just have to do it. Yeah. I am thinking of my best friend right now, who is a nurse practitioner in New York, that has been talking about doing this business for longer than I care to talk about on the show today. And, you know, what I really understand, and I have a lot of empathy for people that are just paralyzed with fear. And then maybe they find a consultant that just, you know, buries them in more debt, somebody that doesn't have the deliverables that they're selling online or whatever it is. It really does take, in my opinion, and the truth is that I've never been able to have the success that I've had with my clients without the background that I have, right? Because I've done this for a living. I know what it is. I know what it takes not only to work in this healthcare industry, but to be a realist and to tell people the truth. Because when the goal is, which I get the vibe from you, that the goal is that you're not here to bullshit anybody. You're here to help them.
Right.
And make your own living doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of boring stuff that you have to do and just get it done. And I've had this problem, and I've had to double check myself, and, you know, but it's fun to buy marketing solutions and stuff and crazy funnels and this, that, and the other thing. And it's just kind of like, look, if you don't have the basics set up, like, none of this matters. It's just a complete waste of time and money. And yeah, I mean, the stuff that you have to do in the beginning, it's not exactly sexy or fun. And but on the other hand, it's not even expensive. It's just a matter of you sitting down and let's focus and let's think about what's going to bring money into the business, like, today or tomorrow. What can you do?
I loved one of your Instagram reels talking about this registered agent, you know, and the fact that there's so many people that are starting these mobile IVs, and they don't, you know, you really portray, like, this is the grit shit you're going to have to do. I know it's complicated, but you're going to have to do this. So let's just get this done, because you don't want somebody showing up at your door and you're giving them the home address on Google. Like, I love that. Like, yes, this is the bullshit that we have to do in order to get the business done. You going to yet another conference and spending, you know, $20,000 to learn the same thing that you already know is not going to help you. So, you know, bringing it back to you talking about the importance of, yes, talking about the mindset with them and just keeping them on this road to get the work done is vital.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I always say is 99% of your business problems are personal problems. And that's where you have to start. Like, and that's where I had to start. It's like, all right, what is the problem exactly here? Because it has nothing to do. I know what to do, but why am I not doing it? And that ends up being a personal problem that I have to resolve.
Well, I love that. Can you elaborate on that? And maybe not you, maybe another example, but people need to hear this stuff. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a good example. So I was at a mastermind meeting, and one of the guys at the meeting was like, "Oh, you should start a Facebook group." And this is 2017, where Facebook groups were, they weren't as proliferative as they are today. And I was like, "Oh, I can't start a Facebook group. I don't know what to say." And the other problem was, I'm like, "What if nobody shows up? That would be kind of embarrassing." And I don't even know what I was thinking. And I had to really sit back and think about it. And I'm like, my biggest fear was that I would start this Facebook group and nobody would show up. And it really kind of went back to like when I was in seventh grade and had a birthday party and nobody showed up. And I'm really, really sensitive about it. And I'm like, I don't want to be a big loser out there again. I'm like, okay, we can't have, the 12-year-old in your life deciding what you're going to do in business. You were told that the Facebook group is a good idea. You need to do it, and we'll just see how it goes, and we'll deal with what happens. And it turned out to be single-handedly the most important thing that I did in the business at that time, and even until now, because I mean, again, we have 20,000 people in there. I have all of their emails, and I sell through email marketing. That's how we make money. So.
My God, had I only listened. No, I tell people all the time, like I also own a small social media company, and of course, most of my first consultations start with how much somebody hates doing social media, and I'm like, okay, like we're gonna have to move past that, and it always and forever will be. I don't want to see myself on camera, and I am afraid of how I look and how I sound. And it's exactly what you just said. It's all about that 7-year-old girl or boy that lives inside of us that, we haven't resolved that stuff yet. So we got to get that shit out of the way and start doing some business. And that is, my dog is going crazy over here. And absolutely why, even when I wrote my book, I wrote it about, in life and in business because the parallel is so extreme, right? And you've been able to be, so tell me about how the business has gone because you really went full force during COVID.
Yeah, no, it certainly evolved because we used to just do courses, and then the nurses would say, "Oh, can't you just do everything for me?" And I'm like, "Well, no, not by myself. No, I can't do everything for you." But so we started putting stuff together. Like, okay, well, what is it? What if we did go through the course and did everything for them? Like, what would that look like? What does that mean? And how can we help here? So we started building like their websites and doing their social media profiles and doing all their business collateral, like brochures and stuff like that, and then helping them out with business plans. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I even gave them coaches, one-on-one coaches to work with. And now it's been about bringing those clients in because we have so many people that have launched their business and they're like, "Where are the clients?" And how do I bring people in? So we're looking at what are some effective, affordable ways that they can market. I mean, a lot of it's on them to go out and meet their neighborhood, but there's a lot of other things that you could do at a cost-effective price to bring people in really on autopilot. So those are the things that we're focused on now.
Yeah, Katie, I started an event 10 years ago called Meet the Neighbors. It's the stupidest thing in the world. Like to think that that's what I called this event. Meet the
I
Neighbors. And
don't
then,
know. That's pretty close. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
yeah. And 10 years later, guess what still works?
Meeting
The
the
neighbors. I'm like, oh my God. Like I'm always in a state of shock. This just happened yesterday. I have a client and she says, oh, she's just opening a new business. And she says, all of these people are coming to the community where this new business is going to be this week, And I said, okay, in your community, on the same block that your new business is going to be, are you going to be there? No. Okay, so all of the people that are in your community are going to be in the space where you're opening up a new business and you're not going to what? You're not going to be there? You don't think meeting the neighbors is going to be helpful in this journey through life and in business? Oh my God. So yeah, and then it becomes like, well, I don't know how to make these graphics. I don't know how to get a rack card. I don't know how to do the website. I don't know how to do the social media. So, well, I'm glad it's you, Katie. I'm sending everybody your way.
It can be very frustrating.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not opening the business because I don't like the image on the website.
You know, it does. It makes you want to just stick the needle in your eye. So many people ask me, so, what's the key to the success of the business? I'm like, well, I know that you think it's one answer, but the only answer is that you have to actually do the work. Katie, you know this, like I know this. It's never going to be just about social media. It's never going to be just about that Meet the Neighbors event. It's never going to be about this podcast show. It's going to be 19 other things that you have to do. Do you think I want to go to a winery at 4 o'clock today? I'm sober 29 years. The last thing in the world I want to do is go to a winery, but I'm going because I own a business.
Yeah, you have to go to those events. You just have to.
Right. So we have to help people stop crying.
So we made the mistake one summer where we created this package and we said it was, done for you because we had these elements that were done for you, but they took it so literally. Like I had to like close the program down because, people would show up for their initial onboarding call and then they disappear and then come back in 6 weeks and they're like, "Well, where's my business? You said it was going to be done for you." And I'm like, "You have to show up to the business. I can't write the copy. I can't make up the services for you. Like, I have to know what it is that you want." It was mind-blowing. I'm like, "All right, like this was way too literal." I'm like, "I wanted to do done for you elements so that you could sit back and not worry about the stupid rack card. We'll do that for you, but you have to tell me what to put on the rack card."
Well, do you want, because I know if I do it, it's going to be wrong.
Exactly. I can't pick the colors for you. I can't, I mean, I guess I can, but I don't know. It was just amazing.
Right. If you tell me to put 95 things on it, guess what's showing up on it? 95 things. Yeah, it is kind of amazing. But, nobody knows this until they get in it. And I guess that's why I come back to that. Stop going to all the conferences. Stop giving yourself 95 reasons. Don't read that one more book, that one more thing you're going to listen to before you launch it. And whatever you do, stop telling us about your focus group of one that thinks what you're doing is a crazy idea. It is crazy.
It is crazy. But
Right, Keith?
it's so great though. Like, I mean, I used to say too, I used to tell my fault when I first started, I'm like, "Oh, you have more flexibility, more freedom." And then I was like, "I'm gonna stop saying that because I got no flexibility and no freedom anymore, but I love what I'm doing." And that's what changes everything. That's what makes a difference.
So what does your business look like today? Walk us through what your business looks like. What does your typical day look like?
Basically, I'm on Zoom calls. And that was the other thing too, like the laptop lifestyle. I'm like, my laptop lifestyle, I need to get out of it because I've got like butt sores from sitting on the computer for hours after hours. Like, I literally have to like force myself to get up and move around because I'm on calls like all day. But I'm meeting different nurses, partnerships. We're brainstorming ideas, new courses. How can we make this program better? Or, people don't like this program, so what can we do about it? Maybe we need to close it down. Maybe we need to revamp it. So there's a lot of quality improvement that goes into it, meeting with the team. So I've got a team of about 10 at this point. So we do a lot of meetings and stuff. So, I mean, that's what it starts to feel more corporate-y every year, which I'm not sure I'm happy about, but it is what it is.
And so you do have a lot of testimonials from other people that have decided to do it, and where can people see that? Where, one of the things that I have always done with physicians, with all, therapists, whatever they are, I help all the healers, the nurses. I always show them or introduce them to other people that are doing it because it really does feel very lonely. People think they're the only ones that have had a business idea, and once they meet other people that are in the same world as they are, you can find resources through these people or learn from the mistakes that they've made so you don't make the same ones.
Right, exactly. It's huge. And that that's really why I started the podcast, was because that was one of the things I said. I'm like, I'm the only nurse that's ever thought about starting a business. Until I went out there and actually looked for them and found I mean, we have like 250 podcast episodes on nurses in business and how they got started and that kind of stuff, and a ton of great ideas for them to sort through. So
that's awesome. What a great resource. So Nurses in Business is the name of the show.
It's just called Nursepreneurs Podcast. It's not anything clever.
Good. We'll keep it all the same. We'll put it all in the show notes, because I do think that that can be so helpful. I love sending podcasts to people that I work with, clients, people that are looking to break out of corporate, because those are the people that, you know, I usually end up helping. So this has been really wonderful. Is there anything else that you want the audience to know before we wrap up today, and their attention span is the size of a flea, so they can't listen?
No, just if you're thinking about starting a business, I mean, you just got to get started. And you know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about businesses and making spreadsheets and spreadsheets and more spreadsheets, but it's not until you actually take that first step that it really becomes real and very exciting, and opportunities just open up. You never know what's going to come your way once you start a business, and it's amazing.
It really is. And it's so much better than walking in and being miserable into that hospital. Right, Katie?
Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't trade that for the world.
I would not. Not at this point. They can't pay me enough to go back.
That's right. You heard it here, everybody. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast show today. And if you want to find out more information, please go to the show notes. We'll have all the links to connect. And I highly recommend that Instagram. I learned so much about you, Katie. I loved it. So. Awesome. Educating people on how to navigate through these waters of the business of medicine. Thanks so much for being here. Remember, if you are looking for a bank that supports you and your community and supports women, check out Valley Bank. Valley Women in Business, it's a thing.